Ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you can go friggin' nuts. We're broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's friggin' gorgeous. It's all summery and Shiite Muslim. Now, we have a guest, but we're not entirely sure if his technical issues have been resolved, so we're just going to go to him now. Daniel Holdings, are you there? Daniel, can you hear me? Now, we've got him on via Skype, and apparently his microphone's not working, so AFR, if you can connect him up via that phone number I gave you earlier, we'll bring him up that way. Okay. Right now, announcements, I guess. New Zealand is having the Agenda 21, globalist domination, EU, New World Order meetings, otherwise known as the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, otherwise known as the TPPA, otherwise known as the GTFO, before I go OTT and be PO'd, mofo. All right, dig this. Back in the day, there was this dude called Al Gore. Maybe you've heard of him. And he was pimping this free trade deal called NAFTA and GATT, and said that it would create jobs and that free trade was good and it won't destroy the manufacturing base of the United States and put a whole lot of Americans out of work and decrease their wages and basically make the economy into a subsistence slave society. Well, it did. And so it was such a good job that now New Zealand and a whole bunch of other countries around the rim of the Pacific, and I use rim operatively, wish to now be penetrated by these particular type of free trade deal. And there was a protest on Saturday in New Zealand from midday till 2 p.m., starting at Aotea Square, well, sorry, 2 p.m., meeting at Aotea Square in the centre of the city, marching on Sky City, where they are having this Trans-Pacific Partnership Conference, which is riddled with scumbaggery and lack of transparency as well, considering it's all secret. Now, I believe we've got Daniel on the phone. Daniel, can you hear me?
I can hear you, my nocturnal friend. Thank you so much for having me on the line, Vinny. I appreciate it.
Hey, all good, brother. Well, let me just give a backgrounder on you for the audience here. His name's Daniel Holdings, as in, you know, gold holdings. And if you go to his website, danielholdings.com, he's an author of a book, in fact, a number of books, as I say. And the most recent one is about the darkness. And I've got finished reading a few pages out of it. Earlier on the show, and it's this really kind of fantastical, kind of a galactic scientific slash demons taking over the Earth 2012 with a James Bond 007 central character protagonist, if I may. And it's pretty choice, actually. You know, the reading style of it, with a creative description and giant lightning bolts of plasma and all of that sort of stuff, and volcanoes and tsunamis and everything. And this is just the first couple of pages, ladies and gentlemen. You know, goes for the gusto. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what actually got you into authoring? I mean, this wasn't your first job, was it?
No, actually, that's actually my second book. My first book is 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast. And, you know, Vinny, the thing is, I was just listening to a snippet of your last show. You know, your guest was talking about people that are asleep and choose to be asleep. For a number of years, I was one of those guys. It wasn't up until about 3 or 4 years ago that I myself started to wake up. And when I did so, interestingly enough, I read Edward G. Griffin's book, Creature from Jekyll Island. I was in the financial industry. When I read that book, it presented a number of problems. So eventually, I actually ended up getting out of the financial industry. But, I've said this before on the air, and I think it begs another time around to describe it. I really compare the financial industry, and I dare say mainstream media, like the facade of a movie lot. When you look at the facade, when you look at the front of these supposed buildings, they all look normal. They look substantive. And the problem is, if you walk through one of the doors on the facade in this movie lot, you will find nothing behind them, or actually maybe all kinds of other things behind them that you didn't expect. And when I went down that rabbit hole with Edward G. Griffin, it kind of opened my eyes to a lot of different things. And I began to write. And that first book, 3 Days of the Belly of the Beast, was the genesis of my writing career. And I think it is absolutely pertinent to the discussion that you were having with your guest, your previous guest, and the discussion moving forward as we move closer to December 21st, 2012. Now, your listeners need to understand, these books are fiction. They're designed to be thrillers, and that's the reason for the cool James Bond character and all the crazy stuff happening. But, Vinny, it blew my mind, because something happened after I wrote that book that really caused me a problem. And it was simply this. Your listeners need to understand, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. Those books aren't religious-based. They're not supposed to be Christian, but they are written from my world point of view. And obviously, I believe in Christ, so therefore there's mention of Christ in there. But there's also a guy in there. He's the world's smartest man. I call him today's Einstein. His name's Dr. Bryce Cooper. And Dr. Cooper was an agnostic or an atheist, and he's working, he's a physicist, and he's working at the Large Hadron Collider. I know that's a subject that you've talked about before on your shows. So he's working at the Large Hadron Collider, and then equally at the same time, he's drafted to be a consultant on the HART project up in Alaska. So what ensues is this journey for this really mainstream, straight kind of guy, and he begins to discover all kinds of conspiracy stuff, but in his fictional real world, if you will, he finds out that what he thought was true wasn't true, and that there's this whole other world that he's had to open his eyes to. So that's the gist of that first book, and obviously As the Darkness Falls, the second book, is kind of what launched me into what you read just recently. Now, the predicament that I had for that first book was, I have a friend, and he wasn't a friend at the time, in Oklahoma. His name is Larry Taylor. He's a Christian, a godly man, and he knows a ton of people. And if I named a bunch of people he knows, you'd know them too. Larry knows a guy by the name of Barry Rothman. Barry Rothman is a Orthodox Jew. He's not a Christian, but he's an expert on the Torah code. He's American. And Larry, who's a friend of his, got him to run 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast, Daniel Holdings, and some of the storylines from that first book in the Torah code. And Vinny, it blew my mind, but they actually found that book, my name, and the storylines within the 3,500-year-old Torah code. So go figure it. I mean, that's kind of what launched this this writing career of mine, and that's kind of presented the situation. Well, Dan, what are you going to do with it? You have this information. Obviously, you're onto something. So what are you going to do with it? So that's kind of where that next book came out that you were just talking about, As the Darkness Falls. I don't know if that answers your question.
I don't know if it does either. The other element here that I found very interesting was that there were these creatures kind of coming through this parallel portal of hell sort of thing. You know, these giant, muscly black creatures with blood red glowing eyes and what have you. Just basically like a cross between a sexy devil and a bat out of hell.
Yeah, kind of like that. Well, you know, let's talk about that portal, because I believe that portal is a real thing. Now, again, those books are fiction, but I want to go back to that first book, because I think if you understand where I've come from, you understand where we're going with that next book. When I found out that first book was in the Torah Code, and I don't know if you or your listeners know much about the Torah Code, but the Torah is the first five books of the Bible. It's the Hebrew Bible, if you will. And it's 3,500 years old. So it's not yesterday's news. It's like ancient news. So at any rate, when the Torah code are supposed secret codes that are found in the Torah that you can only find with computers these days, there's relevant news, I should say, in there that Barry Hoffman finds on a regular basis. So when he found 3 days in the Belly of the Beast in there, it really intrigued me, and I began to really think about this. And lo and behold, I was listening to a gentleman on a talk show, and I know you've had this gentleman on your show before, by the name of Steve Quayle. Now, I didn't know Steve Quayle at the time. Steve was very gracious after several attempts to contact him to give me a call, because something he mentioned in this talk show was the LHC, the Large Hadron Collider, in Geneva, Switzerland, which is buried, 300 feet on the ground, 17 miles wide between the borders of Switzerland and France, that cost $40 billion to put down there, and they're smashing atoms down there. So one of the things that Steve mentioned on this radio show that he was on was that they were conducting an experiment called Operation Falling Star. And again, this is not Daniel Holding's fiction. This is true to life. Well, I did my homework, and when he mentioned this, it kind of made the hairs on the back of my neck stand on end, because it was in they started the experiment. They brought the LHC online in September of 2008, I believe it was. And about 3 or 4 months later, when they were running an experiment, the system crashed. And what they saw on their computer screens before it crashed was some entity, something of an other world. And when he said that, it made me pause, because that is exactly what happened in my first book. And so I was excited, and I called Steve Quayle, and as I said, he finally got back to me. And he said, "Dan, you don't understand." He said, "Not only did that happen in Operation Falling Star," because I told him the plot of the book, he hadn't read it yet, but he said that there's another plot line in the book, in that first book, called HARP. And as I said, many of your listeners have heard this, but he said that there is a direct connection between the LHC and HARP. And I said, "Come on, Steve, you're telling me that what I wrote in a fictional book is actually true?" And he said, "Not only is it true, but hold on." And he explained to me something very interesting, Vinny, and I think this is where your listeners really need to hear this. He said, if you think of the LHC like a main lock, it's a main portal or the main part of a locking mechanism. If you can open that main lock, then you can open all the associated locks, all the locks that are connected to it. And I said, "Boy, that's pretty heavy." And he said, "Well, not only that." He said, "You know those chemtrails?" And I've heard you guys talk about chemtrails as well. And because you do know about chemtrails, you know what they're made of. He said, "You know those chemtrails that they spray in the sky, supposedly for geoengineering, that sort of thing?" And I said, yeah, you see them all the time. You hear about them all the time. He said, "What they are doing is they are preparing this dimension for the opening of that master lock." And I said, oh? And he said, that's right. And they bounce the harp signal off of it in order to do that. And frankly, Vinny, I was stunned. I said, hold on a second. I said, are you telling me? I said, well, no, actually, what I said to him, I said, Steve, I said, what do you think that portal is to? What do you think that's to? He asked me a question here. I said, what do you think it's to? I said, it sounds like the abyss. And he said, that's absolutely right. It's the abyss. I said, Steve, that is crazy. And then he reminded me, Vinny, of the mascot that sits out front of the LHC. Now, I don't know if you've had any guests on that have talked specifically about the Large Hadron Collider. And I love science. I'm a geek when it comes to this kind of thing. But I'd never really thought about this mascot. In fact, I passed over it several times and didn't even give it a second thought. But at the very front of their building, there's a mascot. It is the god, the Hindu god, Shiva. Now, Vinny, Shiva is the destroyer of worlds. So let me ask you this. Why in the world would a scientific organization with over 100 countries participating in this experiment, with over $40 billion invested, have the god who is a destroyer of worlds as their mascot?
Other than the fact that science is also a belief structure like a religion?
well,
let's address this stuff after the break, because I do actually have a few conceptions coming to mind as we speak. So you listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen. My very special guest is Daniel Holdings from danielholdings.com. You can check out his books there and read excerpts of them. If it gets your juices flowing in a demonic sense of the word, you can purchase a copy right there on the website, and we'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And we have a very special guest, Mr. Daniel Holdings, who's an author of some note. And we're going to be talking about some dark occulted mysticism on the show today, I can assure you of that. We're talking about Shiva and how it appeared to be the wonderful, wonderful logo of this Hadron Collider, which threatened to make a black hole and a dark gateway into another dimension of hell that will swallow up the entire Earth, and they just thought it was just fabulous because they were trying to find out what God was. You know what I'm saying?
Daniel, welcome back. So, is that about the size of it? Because he asked me why would they have that symbol of Shiva, which is the destroyer of worlds, being that. My guess would be because they're basically Luciferian crazed nutbags who reckon that they can open a dimension to another part of the universe or whatever. Like, have you ever seen that movie Event Horizon?
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Great movie. One of the best Paul Anderson films ever, and every single film that he's done since then has been pretty crap. But it basically revolves around this ship that has a gravity drive, and what it does essentially is it bends space-time. It folds it in half like a piece of paper so that the ship can travel from one point of the universe directly to another. But in so doing, it crossed into another dimension. It tore a hole in the universe, and it went into a dimension of pure chaos, a.k.a. hell. Yep. And is that what these people are really doing? Are they trying to create a gateway to hell?
Well, you know, Vinny, I think that with all the things that are happening, you know, so oftentimes when you talk to somebody, what they have their one particular area of interest, and they'll talk about chemtrails, or they'll talk about the Large Hadron Collider, about HARP, or government conspiracies, or the Illuminati, and And so what I did is I tried to take a step back, and I said, okay, how much of these things are right, or are they all right? Are they all right, and how are they connected? You're big on connecting the dots. So what I try to do, at least in that second book, is to connect the dots in a fun, interesting, thrilling way, and that's how that book came about. But with regard to your question about dimensions, if you now look, I have a statement for your listeners, and please don't roll your eyes, listeners. I'm going to show you something, and it's going to sound like I'm being religious. I am not. I'm being scientific. So if you bear with me one sec, we're going to break it down for you. We live, as you know, Vinny, in a 3D world. 3D meaning height, depth, and width. That's what 3D means. So there's three. Now, Einstein postulated there was a fourth dimension that we live in. It's called time. So Einstein postulated that time was the fourth dimension. Okay, that's fine. So we live in a 4D world, right? Well, M theory in physics says that there are at least 10 dimensions, right? Well, let's talk about hell for one second. In the Bible, it's broken. This is the part that's going to sound religious. I don't mean it to. It's just the way it is written in there. In the Bible, there are three sections of hell, if you were discussed. The first is hell or Hades. Now, the Bible says that hell and Hades have keys, and that there's a time when Christ goes down after the cross, when he's crucified and before he's resurrected, he goes down and he steals the keys to hell, right? Then he comes back, he's resurrected, and now all of a sudden he can break our physical laws. He can walk through walls, he can do all this amazing stuff. So that's the first level of hell. The second level of hell is the abyss. And it says in Revelation, you've heard of John the Revelator, you know, the apocalypse is in there and all that stuff. But it says in Revelation that the abyss is a different place, that it too has keys, that there are some generals locked up in there, and then eventually these generals, you know, break free, and that's how all hell breaks loose, if you will. So that's the second level of hell. The third level of hell, it's called the Lake of Fire. And at the end of 1,000 years, this is where Jesus, Yeshua, throws the devil and all his angels in there for all eternity. They can never get out of there. There's no keys to that place. But the point that I want to make is that those are three levels, or if you will, three dimensions. Now, I just said that there are four dimensions that we actually live in: height, depth, width, and time. That's four. Plus three dimensions of hell, that's seven. Now, also in the Bible, it says that Paul says that I once knew a man who went to the third heaven, who was in the third heaven. So I just, you know, logically thought here, I said, wait a minute. I said, if there's a third heaven, there must be a first heaven and a second heaven, and then a third heaven. So, okay, let's do our math. 7 plus 3 is 10. Didn't I just say that M theory says that there's at least 10 dimensions? So here's the thing, Vinny. I think that those guys, those scientists at the Large Hadron Collider, know exactly what they're doing. They know that there's other dimensions, and I just broke down, I think there's more than 10, but I just broke down 10 of them for you. Now, they don't get to be scientists at the Large Hadron Collider unless they know what's going on. So in answer to your question, do I think that they are actually trying to do this and they know what they're doing? I absolutely think so.
Well, you know the old saying that truth is stranger than fiction? It's because fiction has to make sense. The truth very rarely does.
You know, the tagline to that new book, and this is very important, the tagline is, for The Darkness Falls, as The Darkness Falls, is nothing is as it seems. I'm going to say that again. Nothing is as it seems. And the reason that I put that tagline on that new book, and what that new book does, is it goes through a litany of all the things, many of them you've talked about on your show, all the things that are befalling the earth right now, all at the same time. Remember I said that, you know, most of the time people have their own pet peeve. They have their own area of interest, and they focus on that. So when I wrote the book, I tried to take a step back and go, okay, how do all these things connect? And what I
What I came up with was in fact that they do connect, Vinny, and nothing is as it seems. You are always so aptly, you're always talking about how, you know, they try to dumb us down with the media, and they try to show us things to make us sleep, to keep us asleep. But what I found is, if you really took a hard look, a macro picture, if you will, at all the things that are befalling the earth, it'll scare the heck out of you. But you have to understand, more than being scared, you have to understand that there is a spiritual element here. Because if all we look at is science, and if all we look at is religious things, or if all we look at is political things, or if all we're not going to get it. There's a motivation behind what is going on, not only at the LHC, but and not only at heart, but with many things that are going on in the world. And if I can just give this away in the new book, I'm sure I have not heard you talk about this, but have you heard of the Georgia Guidestones before?
Yes, I have. Eight languages, eight modern and eight ancient languages, saying that they want to reduce the population to 500 million and perpetual balance with nature, a global language, global courts. Essentially, it's the blueprint for a new world order.
That's exactly what it is. Now, you know, the thing about the Illuminati or the new world order is they're pretty bold. What they like to do is to tell us, because they think we're dumb and ignorant and helpless for that matter, they like to tell us exactly what they are going to do, and then they just go about and do it. They have a plan, they have a timeline, and as we are getting closer to the culmination of that timeline, you know, what they've done is, in this instance, they've put some big old rocks, big old granite pieces, in the middle of nowhere in Georgia, and the first commandment, you're absolutely right, says to reduce the population to 500 million. Well, folks, that means that they want to kill off 6.5 billion people. I'm going to say that again. They want to kill off 6.5 billion people. Now, that's crazy, Vinny, but they don't make sense many times. they are obsessed with power. They're obsessed with having everything for themselves. And as a consequence, they are willing to destroy a good part of the world to do it. And that was kind of the basis or the crux of that second book, As the Darkness Falls. And what the hero does, Bryce finds himself with a download of all this information. And that, I haven't even started talking about Earth changes right now. I know you guys understand. Your audience understands about Earth changes. Benny, just yesterday I read that the 72nd volcano went off and is active now. 72 volcanoes active on the Earth right now. That's crazy. That's never happened in modern times. You know, I read someplace else that within a period of 90 days, there were over seven earthquakes. So seven on the Richter scale, over seven earthquakes in 90 days. That's crazy. So what is really going on right now? See, this is what I mean. If we don't take a step back and look at things through spiritual eyes, then we're going to miss it. We think it's all about earth changes, or we think it's about the Illuminati, we think it's about whatever. But history is racing toward a culmination. And it's just not me saying that. You see, here's the crazy thing. There are cultures all over the world, ancient cultures, that have said this very same thing. And I actually got a list from L.A. Marzulli off of one of his Watchers videos, and I'm just going to read a couple of them here. The Hopi predicted that a 25-year purification followed by the end of the fourth world and beginning of the fifth happened in 2012. The Mayans
Hold on a second. Could we say that the end of the fourth world means the end of the fourth dimension and the entrance into the fifth world, i.e. the fifth dimension, which transcends both space and time?
Well, I don't know if they were that advanced, but I'm telling you, they certainly saw a shift in what was considered normal.
Well, the Mayans had really advanced tech. You know, they build all those giant frickin' pyramids and what was the other thing? Was it Pakal-Katan? I think one of their deities. And in his sarcophagus or whatever, he had breathing. There was a carving of him on the top of it, and he had breathing apparatus. And he had his he was basically, it looked like he was riding a jet bike. Really? Like off Star Wars? Breathing apparatus plugs up his nose, his hands on the throttle, feet on pedals and stuff like that, sort of like exhaust kind of coming out the rear of the vehicle. It was quite extraordinary.
Yeah,
they had these little golden statuettes of jet planes and submarines and tanks and helicopters and stuff, didn't they? Just like the Egyptians did.
That's right. That's right. And in fact, some of that stuff are in those books. But, you know, I have a list of about 11, 12 different cultures, the Zulus, the Mayans, the Aztecs. I could go on and on and on. They're all saying that 2012 is the time. Now, why is that? And you know what? I'm just going to make a statement. Now, this is a faith-based statement. But if you don't know Jesus, you'd be scared to death right now because it is crazy. December 21st, 2012 is only 3 weeks away. And it promises to be a very bumpy time. I don't think it's the end, myself. I think we're going to wake up on December 22nd, and we're still going to be around. But let me tell you something. The world has changed as we know it. And thus, that is how I came up with the title for that second book, As the Darkness Falls. Because, Vinny, what I see happening in the world is this significant darkness, a darkness like we've never seen before falling upon the world. And, you know, you can say that the Illuminati is bringing it. You can say that, you know, society is falling apart. But I think what we are seeing is, at least from a societal aspect, things happening or people doing things that they would never do, you know, 40, 50, 60 years ago. Things are getting downright crazy. And there seems to be this oppression or this darkness, and it started, I think, probably a couple of years ago, but I think we're going to see, as we get closer to the 21st, you're going to feel this oppression, you're going to feel this darkness, this evilness, if you will, even gather more momentum. And so that's kind of the way that I see things happening. I don't mean to sound like a real downer for your listeners, because at the end of this show, I want to give them some hope, but the point is that this is not normal anymore. By any stretch of the imagination, you know, things have shifted. They've changed drastically, and that there are ancient cultures throughout history that have said this very same thing, and they're all looking to the end of December 2012. Isn't that amazing?
Well, I don't know, and I see a lot of different connections here as well, like smart meters, for example. They're rolling those out, and the global, like both in New Zealand and in Canada, as far as people have given me direct testimony, but I assume it's the same for the rest. Implementation for global smart meters is December 21st, 2012, or at least that's their plan, but because there's a lot of people resisting and putting smart meter blockers on, they're not going to quite accomplish that objective. Incidentally, I also saw in another documentary that the Pentagon had a global surveillance network system going online on December 21st, 2012 as well. So a lot of culminations. We'll be right back.
The flight to New Zealand by plane from New York City, it takes 22 hours. So from the Twin Cities, 19. I mean, I fly all the time, and 6 hours on a plane is like a lot, and 19 is wrong. And they distract you. They feed you, and then they feed you some more, and then they feed you. Give me a dessert. Give me a dessert. Give me a dessert. Have your dessert, you prick. Give me that dessert. Have a Bloody Mary. Yeah, give me a whiskey sour. Yeah, give me whatever you got. Just more liquor, more liquor, more liquor. And then when you're done, there's still 16 hours to go.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
You want to know what it's like? You can experience going to...
You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand in English. And we've got listeners from all around the world, so I hope you know you all kind of feel together in a clandestine cabal sort of way. My very special guest is Daniel Holdings from danielholdings.com, author of a couple of books there, and you can go and check those out, and you can read brief snippets of it as I have before you make your purchase, if you wish to. And you know what is interesting about fiction? Is that, mate, you know the old saying that many truths are said in jest? Well, many truths are said in fiction as well. That essentially, people wouldn't be able to process it and get it unless it was delivered to them in a fictional context. That's what I find interesting.
I think that's absolutely right, and that was part of the motivation for writing those books, is that there were a lot of things that I'd learned when, I told you I just woke up about 3.5-4 years ago, there were a lot of things that I'd learned. They were so voluminous that, you know, to sit down and talk with somebody, you'd make their eyes glass over and their head spin. So what I really want to do is to put it in a concise, interesting, exciting format that they could actually glean some interesting and helpful information, and thus those books that came across. That's how I ended up doing that. Excuse me. You know, one of the things that talking about things that are fiction and actually true. I wanted to mention this to you, and I'm sure you've actually heard this as well. You know, back on May 8th, 2012, because we're talking about 2012, we're talking about those things that are befalling the earth, but, you know, there was a national security advisor to Obama. His name was Thomas Donilon. Thomas Donilon asked for a rushed meeting with President Putin out of Russia. And at this meeting, he was talking about the souring relationships between Russia and America, and they were talking about trade sanctions, they were talking about potential conflicts, they were talking about all this stuff. And Putin got upset at him, and he said something like, well, you know, Obama hasn't done anything since he's been in there, and he's not being very cooperative. At the end of the meeting, this blew me away, this is one of the advisors to the head of the United States of America. This Donilon said, here's a quote, as the meeting neared its end, the report states that Donilon became decidedly dejected and voiced his concern to Putin about everything that was going on. And then he cryptically stated, now here's a quote, what's the difference in any of this anyway? Nostradamus is the one in charge. None of us even have a world to live in before the year's out. Now, Vinny, what the heck is that? this is a guy that advises the head of state, and they think Nostradamus is in charge. I for the life of me, this is an instance where fiction is stranger than life. I just don't understand.
I don't know. It just sounds like those people are a bunch of Nostradamuses.
Well, that could very well be, but you know what? I think many times,
well, hold on a second. Here's another thing. Hasn't there been a lot of predictions of the end of the world thus far, and thus far the world hasn't ended? And I get a question in from my good friend Karen Tostado, and he says, on December 21st, 2012, if nothing huge changes or anything like that, what will you then think about it?
That's a good question. Karen, I've already said that I think we'll be here December 22nd. I don't think December 21st is the end of the world.
She's having a roundtable discussion on the 21st. I'm going to be joining her there, but because I'm broadcasting live from the future, it'll actually be the 22nd for me. So I'll be able to give them a live report from the other end of the world at the end of the world.
and this is the thing. I don't think it's the end of the world. I've already said that. What I do think is that things have changed. They are changing, and that is marking a really, really significant time in the Earth's history. And we are going to see, you know, we see really crazy things going on now. And, you know, all you have to do is look at alternative media to see some of it.
Can I interject something here?
Sure.
You know, the meaning of the word apocalypse is the revealing of great truth or something to that effect, right?
Right.
Well, I was just thinking about this. We currently live in a world of great lies and deception. So it is the end of the liars and deceivers. It's their end, not ours.
One could only hope, and I hope so. But I fear that it's just more of the same, if not worse.
I think U.S. elections have taught us all that.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you just look, you know, I don't really like talking about politics because it drives me crazy. I mean,
me too. The reason I had to take 10 days off, bro, is right after the elections. It was just mind exploding with that stuff. In fact, let's change the subject quickly.
Well, you know, if you sit there and you say, okay, I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat. Okay, so you believe the lies of the Republican, you believe the lies of the Democrat. Choose which one. They're both lies. Doesn't really matter. You know, when you look at what happened in the U.S. elections, I don't believe he won that election at all. And the reason I say that is because, you know, there's no way that he could have got 108% in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. There's no way he could get that many votes there, or Ohio for that matter. Just, it didn't make sense. But my point is that they needed that guy in there. And Romney, this is the difference. Romney knew they needed that guy in there. Romney knew he was never supposed to win there. He was just the guy that was going up against him. This is the set thing. So, you know, one can only hope that as we near the end of December of 2012, we're going to see some good changes. But I fear what they are really doing is lining up for their end game, because, you know, I can't get out of my mind the Georgia Guidestones. They have an agenda. You were talking about, you know, smart meters before we went to break. You know, that's part of the totalitarian society that we are now moving into. I heard this crazy story. I read this crazy story where these one of these towns in the Midwest, I think it might have been on the East Coast, where they're installing microphones. And they're installing cameras on the street so that they can eavesdrop on conversations and see everybody what they're doing. Now, that's not...
You know, this reminds me of a couple of things. Firstly, the 21st is on a Friday, mm-hmm. and it'll be the last day of banking for the year. And incidentally, the Monday after that is the 100-year anniversary of the Federal Reserve Act, which, like most draconian legislation... that has huge effects and of great importance, is passed over Christmas time when nobody's there.
I didn't even talk about that because, you know, I economics, fiscal responsibility, I have an eye for that sort of thing. But let's talk about that for just a second. Now, if you don't believe that there's a meteor coming, and I don't think so, but if you don't believe that, you know, and I can't say this word, but the Mayan temple, the portal at the Mayan temple that these Mayan priests are trying to open up in Quetzalcoatl, I think is the name of it, doesn't let out the serpent god, and he doesn't consume everybody in his path. All you got to do is to look at the fiscal cliff, and I'm not talking about the fiscal cliff that the mainstream media are talking about. I'm talking about what you're just talking about, because the charter on December 21st is up. And, Vinny, do you know that that charter... that it takes the approval of the president to renew that charter? Because it's only 100 years, it has to be renewed, right? Okay,
so it's under the approval of Barack Obama, who gave more money to the bankers in his first year of office than the entirety of U.S. presidents ever gave to the bankers in the entirety of frickin' history.
That's right.
I wonder which way he's going to vote.
Yes, that's a pretty easy guess. He'll probably go with it, I would think. But then, okay... it has to be approved by a supermajority of Congress. A supermajority of Congress. That's 60% I think is what it is. Okay. Those guys can't agree on anything. I mean, can you see the Republicans and the Democrats?
Apart from the Patriot Act.
Well, yeah, apart from the Patriot Act. But they were all scared to death. They were forced into that. That's why they did that, I guess. That's what they'll say.
Well, they all agree that they don't want to read legislation before they pass it. I think that's what they really fundamentally agree upon.
Okay, so as far as them approving that, that's a maybe. Okay, that's a maybe. They might go along with it, right? But the other thing that it takes is it takes a majority. No, I take that back. It takes 100% of all 50 states to ratify it. Now, Vinny, I don't know if you know much about Arizona or Texas, but those guys are rebels. They're never going to approve it. They want to secede from the union as it is.
Yeah.
So it's not going to get approved. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. But
I think they might just throw some bait and switch type legislation in there. Like they'll call it something else, and then when people vote on that something else, thinking that it's actually different, they'll then switch it with the existing legislation that they wanted to pass in the first place. So people will vote on it without knowing that they're voting on it, and then it gets passed, and then they go, "Oh well, I'm sorry, it's passed now. It'll be impossible to repeal your slaves."
Well, that could be, and it wouldn't be beneath them to do that. But the other thing that I want to draw your attention to is FDIC insurance here in America. FDIC insurance is what governs deposits. That runs out on the 31st. If that goes away, there will be a bank run and the banks will collapse. The economy will collapse. So I think they're playing for the end game, and it's not just, you know, we're not in Kansas anymore. This is way different than normal.
Yeah, I tend to agree, you know. If anybody takes a real critical analysis across a multi-spectrum of different disciplines and things all over the world, everybody would know that we're in a huge state of flux right now, and the future's not set. Our fate is what we make for ourselves. So if you want to have a good future, try building one. Don't sit around and wait for one to be built for you, because I can assure you the future that will be built for you is a prison from which you will never be able to escape. Daniel Holdings from danielholdings.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening, and please donate at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. We'll see you again sometime.